Yeah, greetings. Thankful to be here. We've been singing about clinging to God, trusting that the law of the Lord is perfect. How are we doing that? There's this story in or a parable in Matthew 18. Jesus was giving instructions about forgiving, starting in 21, and Peter was asking how often he should forgive, and he was told 70 times 7 or 70 times, many times. I think it means there's no end. We forgive. I don't think he intended us to count that far, and I'm not sure that we could accurately do that, or even should. We should be forgiving. And then he says this story. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. I think this amounts to like millions of dollars. I'm not quite sure. I once kind of figured things out, but I forgot what it was. And he was supposed to pay back. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife, children, and all his possessions, and payment be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. How much has God forgiven us? And when we're poor and needy, we're crying out to God. But what if we're rich? We've been forgiven all this money, and then but that same slave, as he went out, he came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, maybe $10, maybe $5, I don't know what it comes out to. Seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, I will pay you." But he refused and went and threw him in prison until he would pay the debt. There's many examples in the Bible of people that when they were humble, they were right with God. They served God, but when they were given a position, money, wealth, they fell and they ended up suffering their salvation, as I think this man did. He received all that back, his millions of dollars, and back on his head, and we don't hear that he was forgiven that. I don't know if he played again or if he didn't have anything to say. I can just imagine him thinking, "I messed this up completely. Here there was $5. Here's his $1 million." And he probably didn't have anything to say. It doesn't say. And then on I was just thinking how, what is the will of the Father? How can we have His will? Do His will? And so I have picked out some scriptures. One is in Mark 10. It's beginning in 14 and 15. But when Jesus saw this, He was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." And then what it says next, I think, applies to us. Maybe the little children all go to heaven. We don't know how that all works out, but He will be just and fair with everything. "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Again, that humility, if we don't keep that, if we don't serve God the way we've embraced Him at first, we will be like those people in Revelations that needed to repent. In Matthew 12:49 and 50, He pointed to His disciples and He said, "Here is My mother and My brothers. For whoever does the will of My Father in heaven is My brother and sister and mother." So here we see this: whoever does the will of My Father. So that should be our desire, our all, our life, everything should be to do the will of My Father, our Father. And then almost totally identical in Mark 3:34 and 35. I've heard somebody say, if something's repeated like that, take special note. And I'm not sure. I think there's something behind that. There's some value in that, taking special note. This time it says looking. I was thinking pointing or looking. Two people telling the story. Oh, I pointed and I also looked. Or somebody could write, "He pointed and He looked," or "He looked and pointed." It'd be all the same. He said, "Here are My mother, My brothers. Whoever does the will of God is My brother, My sister, and My mother." The important part I see here is that we find and we seek and we long and we humble ourselves to find that will of God. Otherwise, we will not be in the kingdom. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent Me and to complete His work." And I felt like, yeah, we need to make His will our first in our life. And not allow ourselves to be captured in so many different ways. John 7:16 to 18. "Then Jesus answered them, 'My teaching is not Mine, but His who sent Me. Anyone who resolves to do the will of God will know whether the teaching is from God.'" I would gather that if we resolve to know the will of God, we will understand truth. We will be one with that, and we will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking of my own. "Those who speak of their own seek their own glory, and those who seek the glory of Him who sent Him is true. And there is nothing false in Him." We can safely trust. We can safely follow our Savior We do not have to. We do not have to stumble and fall. If we do, there's God, hopefully will give us the grace to get back up and walk again. John 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desires of the eye, the pride in riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away. All those who do the will of God live forever. Again, if we do His will, there's no place for our will. The two are not compatible. Unless I say my will is His will. I'm not sure how that all comes out, but I guess it'd be fair to say, though, that if our will is His will, and we're not deceived or whatever, I don't know how that all comes out, but it's whatever His will is, that's what we want. And if that means that I change my will to His will, or just follow His will, or trust His will, whatever that all means, I think it all comes out the same. To be doing His will. Romans 12:2-3, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Again, knowing that we can discern the will of God. What is good? What is acceptable and perfect? It takes discernment. It takes wisdom. And it's not from humans. Not human wisdom. It's going to be God's wisdom. And I'm not saying anybody here would not be seeking that, but I think we are in danger of, somehow, I believe we're in danger of falling away. And by doing His will, according to the other scriptures I read, would be our safety. If Jesus comes walking by on the road and we follow Him, can we go wrong? Is there any way when we follow Jesus, we follow His teachings, we follow what He says, we take it serious. When He walks up a long hill, that we follow Him, can we go wrong? I don't think so. If we have the humility to embrace His teachings and apply them, we will be like Him. It's when we don't do that, it's when we don't embrace Him, don't follow Him, we have our own little ideas about things. And I felt like 1 Thessalonians 5, I'll just read the whole chapter. It's just been encouraging in so many ways, an encouragement to us. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anyone write anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. I think this was often applied to the world things. Oh, the world's going to have peace and safety, and then there'll be sudden destruction. I think it's right in our hearts that He's talking about. He's not talking about the outward things. It could be that too, I'm not saying. I kind of gave up and hearing anything about peace in the world. I'm not sure it exists there. But we can have peace in the Lord, and we can lose it. We can get secure, smug, arrogant. Oh, we wouldn't do that, but intentionally. But there's a deceiver in this world that has many ways, as I see it, there's just many ways that he'll try to trick us. He tries to trick me. I'm sure he tries to trick any of you. We can look out for each other. That's where I think two are better than one. So I think this peace and security comes from when we feel like we've got it. I've got it. I got this handled. This is peace. This is security. And then then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are children of light and children of the day. And we are not of the night and of darkness. So that's what we need to be in, to be like this. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do. He was seeing others falling asleep. Let us not do that. But let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Now this awake and asleep is talking about death, I think. Whether we are alive or whether we have died. We may live in him. Therefore, encourage one another to build up each other, as indeed you are doing. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. And esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. These are just encouragements for us to be doing. Make this our priority. Not to become powerful, not become rich. Be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks to all in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then in all our circumstances, that we give thanks. It's sometimes hard to say, I had need of that. But we don't have to say thanks to sin. But the circumstances we can say thanks to. We live in circumstances today that we didn't choose. It was not our picking. We didn't choose to live today. We can't keep ourselves alive. The time we're in, the area we're in, these are circumstances. The body we have, we can't change that. But we can be thankful in whatever God gives us. And I think he's encouraging us to, when hard circumstances do come along, that we be thankful. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets. But test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Make the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so important that we be found sanctified entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will return. He will return at a time when maybe what he referred to in the beginning, that he will return at a time when we don't expect. The other places Jesus gave us examples of people were working, doing their work in the time of Noah, and it seemed like the water very quickly overtook them. It came up from the bottom, it came from the top, it just poured, something they had never seen before. And in one day's time, all these people that thought that Noah was laboring for something weird, something stupid, something not worthwhile, something totally, totally irrelevant, I think. And I think he was mocked. But the day came. It also talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, how they were continuing with their life, and at one given moment there was like this flash of fire and brimstone, and it was over. That's how his return is going to be. It's going to be a time when we're not expecting. We can expect him every day, every night. We can be ready. That's what we are called to do. But we do not know. It says even that Jesus said he doesn't know. The Son doesn't know. But to be found ready is essential. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. That's where humility comes in again. Is anybody here that thinks they can obtain salvation? They're smart enough. They know the way. They've got it all figured out. It's something that we fall into. But it says here in verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. And something I've learned over the years is I have to trust him. I have no other choice. I can't trust myself. I can't trust Catholic. I can't trust anybody, so to speak. At the end of the day, I'm going to be responsible for the choices I make, and you're going to be responsible for the choices you make. There's no getting around it. It's the way I believe that way. I think I'm saying the right thing. And we can safely trust him. We have to trust him. But with that, when we trust something, we do what? Give ourselves. Anyways, there's nothing new, nothing you didn't know. Just a reminder and encouragement. Beloved, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I solemnly command you by the Lord that this letter be read to all of them. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's all I have. Feel free to correct and whatever you might feel like sharing.
Amen, Brother Walter. Forgiveness. You had so many great points. Forgiveness. I know, I don't know, but in the world, you read the parable, the man, he got the other man by the throat. In the world, it used to be, I don't know if it still is, but the mafia or the underworld. They have what they call loan sharks, and you take out a loan for $2,000, $5,000, and if you don't pay it, they send a missionary to you and saying, "Hey, where's my money? Where's the money you owe? You know, you owe $2,000, you got to pay. We'll give you another month, and if you don't give it, we're going to break your arm or break your leg." So that would expedite, that would serve like that. And if it was a real big loan, like $100,000 or something, and you don't pay it, well, they take your body and they tie a rope around you and throw you in the river, and they never hear from you. And all of that to say the love of money, what the cause is. You know, that man, he just grabbed him by the throat, but he didn't kill him, but that covetous spirit. And one last point on forgiveness, I think when anyone is considering being a Christian, count the cost. If unless you forgive that person, neither you'll be forgiven. As Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." And if we don't have that same spirit, then we're trampling on the blood of Christ. We're trampling on the blood of Christ, and we have no hope of salvation. We have to forgive 7 times 7,000. And it's hard to do, but it's possible. With the Holy Spirit, we can do it. And really, Christians did it, Waldensians, a lot of Anabaptists, and we can do it today. The Lord be magnified.
Oh. Amen.